It is a great blessing that I get to see all you again, brethren, tonight. This being the, well, we started Sunday. This is the third night of the gospel meeting. And I hope that this lesson tonight that we study be just as good as the other ones. At least I believe that they were good. And I hope that they edify you all here. We had a young man respond to one of the calls just last night. He responded to that gospel call, and he deserves credit for that because a lot of people don't respond to the gospel call. They know they need to change and turn, but they won't do it. Tonight I'm going to preach a subject that's going to be taken from Luke chapter 2. But before I get started in my subject, I hope I don't offend anyone by doing this, but I have to do this because if I don't do it, I won't eat when I get home. My wife is not going to feed me. So don't let this offend you, but I just have to take one picture of you, brethren, because I haven't seen this man in a long time. So now if I can just get the thing to go, now and see. I bought it and don't know how to work it. I tell you what, let's see if it's going to work. Never mind. I just won't eat then. I guess I just won't eat, huh? Thought I had this thing under control, unless I didn't mash it hard enough. Yeah, never mind. I tell you what I do when service over. I just catch some of you coming out and click, click, click. So I just let that go. I wanted that picture bad too, boy. I must be did something to this camera. I can't see what I did to it. That's what you get when you get so. Oh, it's blanking. Wonder why they ain't shooting. Oh, that's why. There's the reason. That's one. Let's see, can I do this right this time? Do it again. I forgot you had to pull it back. Did it flash? Just bear with me, brother. There you go. I did it. I got that out the way. I know y'all haven't seen that done before, and I know y'all say, well, it takes black people to be the first to do something, but that's all right. But anyway, I want to mention something first just to show my appreciation, because if it wouldn't have been for these brethren, I wouldn't have been here tonight to preach this meeting, and some of you wouldn't have been able to come over to Middleburn at the time. I want to thank Brother and Sister Kimmel because, you know, Brother Kimmel heard me a long time ago, and it took about 4 years before he got the brethren to ask me to do the meeting. So I preached that meeting up in Middleburn, and some of you did come. And I'm glad that someone in the congregation said, let's try to get him to come preach for us. It took 4 years, but it did happen. And so I want to thank them. But I want to mention something to you. When me and my wife went to Middleburn, brethren, we didn't see one black soul in that town, not one black soul. And that was a scary event. And so we went to the telephone to call them, and we told them, look, we're down at y'all mailbox. I believe it's the right house. We wasn't going to go up in any one yard around here. We don't know anybody here. I told Brother Hayford and Sister Hayford that if I see a black walking around here in Peyton City or in that never mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm going to grab him. I haven't seen a brother yet since I've been here. So I should get all kind of good treatment. You know, everybody talking to me, speaking to me, that's good, you know. But anyway, I want y'all to, I'm glad to see that Sister Kim was feeling well and she's looking better and all. I don't know how she was feeling and looking a while ago, but I just heard she wasn't feeling well. So I'm glad, and I wish I knew some of you other brethren and I could do the same thing, but I just don't know too many of you, but I do know them, and I'm glad to see them tonight. Now we're going to go ahead on and get into the God's Word tonight, and we're going to study from Luke chapter 2. But I want to read a text from Acts chapter 10 first, and I want us to turn to verse number 33. I want us to find what our intention is in being here at this gospel meeting tonight. And every time we come together, there must be a reason why we do it. And so if you turn to Acts chapter 10, and I want you to notice verse number 33. I want you to hear what Cornelius said when he saw Peter coming. The Bible says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. That's what Cornelius said. He wanted to hear the things that are commanded thee of God. And that's our intention in this whole gospel meeting, is to hear those things intended of God, those things that pertain to righteousness that God wants us to do so that we could be saved in the last day. Let me go ahead and read the text here from Luke chapter 2. Most of you are familiarized with this story. It's talking about Jesus and how he was lost one time, at least his parents thought he was. And we'll just look at verse number 42 and just read a couple of the verses, and then we'll go ahead on and get in a little bit deeper in the lesson for tonight. Notice verse number 42. It says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Well, you know, there were three festival feasts that the Jews and men had to go to, the Jewish men. This is one of them right here. And so they had to go there. Notice in verse 43, And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Can you imagine someone losing the Savior of the world? Well, this is what happened. Notice, and when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem. Notice verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. 3 days now, 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. Now, of course, we know that when they asked him, why did you tarry with this, and why we didn't find you, and where were you, and all, you'll notice that it says in verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So from the reading of this text, we're going to study this subject tonight, the lost Christ. I want us to see that Christ is lost in the world. He's lost in the home. He's lost in the church. And what I mean by that is, I mean our brethren today are not being faithful to the Lord as they should. They're bringing in teachings and doctrines that don't pertain to godliness. And they don't even want to have a discussion with us, some of these brethren, and discuss why they're doing such things. So Christ is even lost in his own church. And we're going to see what I mean by that as we get into the lesson. First of all, I want to talk about this word lost, because the word lost often strikes terror in our hearts. Every day, thousands of things are lost here and there. We all know about it. Sometimes you lose your keys. I have done it. Sometimes you lose your wallet, same, checkbook, or credit card. As a matter of fact, one man even lost his wife. He was traveling with his wife, and she decided to get out at the filler station and go in the service station. He didn't see her get out. And she went in the bathroom, started cleaning up or whatever she did, and he thought she was in the back laying down, and he cranked up the vehicle and took off. He got 70 to 80 miles down the road, and he was kept talking to himself. He didn't get any response, and all of a sudden, he turned around and didn't see his wife. And he left her there barefooted. She didn't have any shoes on. And you know what the man did? He pulled over to the side. He said, now, should I go back and get her or just leave her there? Now, I tell you, that's pretty bad. You know, he had to go back 70 miles to get her, you know, but even some people lose their own wives and husbands. Let me make an example here, because I want to, you know, I like to preach hard. I like to get into the lesson, but I need to tell you this, and I really didn't want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. When I came here, when I left the hotel Saturday morning early, getting ready to take off to come here, preach for you, brethren, I got lost. I thought I was leaving at 4 o'clock. I was really leaving at 3 o'clock. I did good while I was in Tennessee, but once I hit Virginia, I got lost. You know, there's a Charleston, North Carolina, or down in Charleston, North Carolina. You know what I did? I thought I was going up north, and I found out I was going down south. And I got on, I probably say I drove about 70 to 80 miles out of the way. And then someone, I got in just about close to North Carolina, and I was asking this lady at this welcome center, I said, Charleston got to be, it's in West Virginia. She said, no, you're almost in North Carolina. I said, North Carolina? And I had to turn around, go all the way back up north again, and come all the way back up here. So it's possible to get lost. It was during darkness, and that's probably why that happened to me. But anyway, in the 15th chapter of Luke, we talked about chapter 2. Let's talk about Luke 15 for a second. And I'm talking about the word lost here, you know, just to get us ready for our study. In the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus mentioned three things, or three lost things. He mentioned them. And if you don't look at the verses, you can, but I'm just going to call them. One of them, he talked about the lost coin. That's verse number 8. He talked about the lost sheep. That's verse number 4. He talked about, most of all, the lost boy in verse number 11. And so we all can read and understand what the word lost means. And so this kind of subject here is needed today in the church. And sadly as it may be, Christ has become lost to some Christians. And the reason that is because many don't love him anymore. They don't seek his kingdom first anymore. They don't put him first in their life anymore. And that's why this subject is so important. So let's go to the overhead and let's get started in the lesson. I still remember you had to do that. I know something wrong. Here we go. Okay. Now let's look at this. Now this writing tonight is going to be a little bigger than the rest of the lessons we've seen. You can tell already. My wife made sure I seen this one. All right, let's look at the first point of this lesson. In point number one of this lesson, we want to talk about Christ is lost in the world today. And I believe he is, brethren. And when we get through looking at some of these things I'm going to mention here, we always see that he is lost in this world. But it's not God's fault or Christ's fault that mankind is lost today, because the gospel was given to the whole world, given for everyone can obey the gospel. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, here's the text right here. Jesus takes death for every man. So Calvinism is wrong when they talk about election. It's false doctrine. The Bible does not teach that one bit. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. It said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew chapter 11, there's a great invitation of the Lord right there. For anyone who would take of him and become a child of him, a child of God, they can become a child. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is another wonderful text. Now, I'm going through them a little bit quick, but most of you know what these texts are saying, so I'm just kind of touching them a little bit. But I do want to read this one. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, this is a wonderful text. I mean, you can just take two of these and prove to someone that God doesn't elect anyone. When man obeys the plan of salvation, of course he's elected then, but he's not elected without him obeying God's plan of salvation. God doesn't make us do something we don't want to do. It's up to us to make that decision. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth? See there? He wants all men to be saved. So he died for those nations that are our worst enemies today. The gospel is for them too. The entire earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24:1 say the entire earth is the Lord's. He wants every man to be saved. So Christ should not be lost in the world, but he is, because most people don't want to obey the gospel. Whose fault is it if we don't breathe the air that God gives to us, eat the food that he has given to us? And if we can understand these two, why can't they understand that salvation has been given to us too? And all we have to do is obey the plan of salvation, and we can be saved as Christians. Now let's go ahead on and look at number B here. I'm trying to show a little bit, a lot of this here. Notice number B here. There is not much righteousness in the nation of the world today. The nations, that is. We don't have much righteousness in these places. As a matter of fact, there are some places where you'll get killed if you're in the wrong place, such as South Africa, China. You know, you just look at all these nations here. Look at Japan. Some of our brethren are there, and thank God they want to go in the world and preach the gospel. Iran, Iraq. Look at South Africa. Look at these other places. I mean, if you are in these countries, there's a possibility that you can be persecuted or probably put in prison. As a matter of fact, on the news recently, they had someone from China saying that if you can find a Christian anywhere, we will pay you so much money to turn them in. That's how much they care about doing what God says. So Christ is lost in this world today. And what I mean is, a lot of people today can care less about who Jesus is. They heard of him. Most of them know who he is, but they don't want to obey him. So how many of these countries love Jehovah? Not many of them at all. And the reason simply is because Christ is lost to these people. They can care less about what the Bible says concerning this. And don't forget, if you want a copy of this lesson, we will get with you and we'll make you a copy of it. Someone might want a copy and we'll do that for you. But let me move on in the lesson here. And I want to finish up this first point. Now I'm going to show you some things to show you how he's lost in this world today. And I'm going to show a good bit of it so you can read ahead. Just imagine how it is to suffer in these countries if you just try to preach Christ on the street corners. You know, the people in China have to hide when they meet to worship God. They just can't do it in the open. That's a shame, but that's the way it is in our society today. Not only is Jesus Christ lost in the foreign nations that I just mentioned, he is lost in the U.S. of A., right here in the United States of America. Look at the gangs today. Look at the teen killings today in our schools. Don't tell me Christ is not lost in this world. He is. Just look at that. Look at this. Look what they teach in sex education today. They don't teach you abstinence. They don't teach that a child should wait till he get married. You don't hear too many of them doing that today. You know what they do? They give the kids condoms and say, well, we know you can't help yourself. We know you're going to do this, so here, take this and protect yourself. That's ridiculous. But that shows us what kind of society that we live in today. Fornication and adultery today. You see it on television. You see it in the books. You see it everywhere. You hear it in the music today. Christ is lost in this world today, brother, and especially in the United States of America. And when I reach in my pocket and go in my wallet, if I have a dollar in there, and I got one, and I put it out there, I see on that dollar, "In God we trust." I don't believe it one bit. Look at our nation today. 40 million babies killed since 1973. Rapists and child molesters getting away with it and putting them back on the streets again so that they can do more. Homosexual marriage today. And let me mention something about rights here. Don't you know that a homosexual can go into a place and adopt a child faster than one of us could? You know why they can adopt one faster than we can? They'll say, because y'all, if they don't get those rights or they don't get one when they want one, they'll say y'all are showing prejudice or y'all showing respect of persons or y'all not giving us our rights, and we deserve rights. They don't deserve any rights. Now, they do deserve certain rights. They don't deserve to be beat up. They don't deserve to be shot or kicked around. I agree with that. But when it comes to doing these sinful things that they're doing today, they don't deserve it at all. I don't want to see a homosexual wait raising a baby, two men raising a little girl or a little boy. It's not right for those kids to come up under something like under that kind of filth, and that's what it is. And it's a sin in the sight of God, and they're going to have to give account for it. But they can adopt children faster than we can. I know some in here. I met a brother that stays about 6 hours from here. He works in Washington, D.C. I met him. He adopted a little boy. And, you know, but it's hard for us to get one. But I'm just want you to see how Christ is lost in this world today. Let me mention something else here under this point here. Notice the point. I usually put point when I make a point on the lesson. I do that every time. Jesus has been taken out of education, and evolution has taken his place in many, many schools today. Is that right or wrong? You know what? It's better for the parents to just raise their child on their own and home train them and raise them that way because, and some families do, or members of the church do that, because when the kids go to school, they have to deal with this. They'll tell them that, look, homosexuality is just a lifestyle. You have to accept that. It is nothing wrong with that. They were born that way. They can't do anything about it. You know what, brethren? I was born black, and I can't do anything about it. Now, Michael Jackson changed his color a little bit. I can't change mine. I mean, I'm black, and I'm going to stay black until I'm dead. I was born that way. Homosexuals were not born that way. They chose that lifestyle. They chose to do that on their own. And then they have the nerves to say that we are showing prejudice or respect of persons or whatever. We're not giving their rights, and I believe it's wrong myself. And I hate it, and it hurts me when I hear them get on TV and say, y'all are doing us like y'all did the black people back in the 1700s and the 1800s and even the 60s. Y'all not giving their rights. Brethren, we were born this way, nothing we can do about it. They were not. They're committing sin in the sight of God. Our schools of higher learning are hotbeds of atheism, evolution, and immorality in the world today. Yes, Christ is lost in America today. He is. So where's Jesus? Well, he's lost in America, and a great part he is. And what our United States of America needs to do is go back to what they used to do back in the early 1700s. Would you believe that in the 1700s that they worshiped God? That the government also was involved in worshiping God? That God was involved in everything they just about did? Even though they still had some that was atheist, but it was more than what it is now. And our United States today can care less about it. So Christ is indeed lost in this world today. Now let's go to point number two. He's lost in a home. Oh yes. He's lost in many people's homes today. And I want to show you something that Hezekiah said here in 2 Kings chapter 20. You can turn if you want to, but I put the verse right here, some of it. 2 Kings 20 and 15, where Isaiah asked Hezekiah, he said, what have they seen in thy house? In verse 15, Hezekiah answered by saying, all the things that are in my house they have seen. I tell you what, a lot of members of the Lord's church can't say that. I know a brother right now, a preacher, his name is W.L. Blanton. He preaches in Lufkin. He preaches in Nacogdoches, Texas. I did several meetings for them. It's a black congregation. And he went to one brother's house, and the brother said, look, my home is your home. Anything you want in here, just go in there and get it. He opened the brother's icebox and saw a whole stack of beer in the bottom of his icebox. So I'm over to Hathley's house, and if the Hathleys tell me, yeah, Carwell, this is your home. They told me that several times. I behaved myself this time. Usually I go in people's icebox, I lift up their pot legs, I look anything they got in there, I'm going to look and see what I can eat. I've been behaving myself pretty good so far. But don't tell me to just say this is your house, because I go through, so I'm not going digging in your stuff, but I'll just go through the icebox and in your pots and all, yes. But that's what the brother told him, and he found out he had beer, and then he had to teach him that it was wrong, and he shouldn't have never let him did that in the first place, but that was ridiculous, but that's what happened. Let me show you some things that I have seen in some brethren's home when I went over their home. I saw some things I probably shouldn't have seen. One of them was cigarettes. I seen cigarette packs all on their counter. And they're supposed to be followers of Christ. But what have they seen in your house? Have they seen drugs? And you might say, oh, of course not. I won't have any drugs in my house. What about cigarettes? What about pornography? What about beer? Now, you don't have to have those girly magazines, that the ones that are real heavy. You can just have Playboy or Playgirl. And when I was preaching in Memphis, Tennessee, a brother, he actually goes in those, you know, you can go into a magazine store in the mall, and they used to have Playboys and all sitting right on the shelf where you can take them off and look at them. He used to open the thing up to the middle page. And I told him, I said, how can you do that as a Christian, brother? You can't do that. Your light is not shining. He said, well, doctors see naked people all the time. I said, they're doctors. You're not. That doesn't give you the right to do that. Now, what kind of example is he showing people when he's doing something like that? And he had to repent. And he had to turn because he was wrong in what he was doing. And so you don't do things like that in the open where people can, you don't want to give people any kind of ammunition to go on so that they can use this against you as a Christian. We want to be careful. But he's lost in the home. Let me show you some other things here on this point number two. It's a part of this sermon I like. I like this part right here, but I'll kind of wait till I get down there. What do they see in my house? Is the God that rules our home the God called TB? Now I want to show you something here. And when I showed this chart here in Huntsville, Texas, I guarantee you, brother, I had to make about 20-some copies of this because all those brothers want a copy of this thing. They liked it so much they wanted it. Probably you might want a copy of it too, so let me show you. Now, this is dealing with the 23rd channel. Now, I want you to look at this. The TV is my shepherd. I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the scriptures. It destroys my soul. It leads me in the path of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yeah, though I walk in the shadow of my Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruptions, for the TV is with me. Its cable and remote control, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism. It covering runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house watching TV forever. Now, we heard of the 23rd Psalm. That's the 23rd channel. You want a copy of it, you can have a copy of it. But what that tells us is that the God of many Christians, and they'll tell you that, look, the God I serve is the capital G God, not the small G God. But you won't believe it, brother, while the music that they listen to, the lyrics, the programs they watch on television. As a matter of fact, one of the sisters probably here tonight, she came over to Brother Hafley's house today, and I just had the TV on in the station. And boy, I guess she was sitting down, and she heard something that really got her attention. She said, boy, they're just cussing like that guy, you know. And I really, it's not their fault. It was just on the regular TV now, not cable, not Homebox or Cinemax. On regular TV now, they use big words. And I'm not happy with that. And I try to be as careful as I can about what I see with my eyes, because the Bible tells us to be careful what we hear and how we carry ourselves as Christians. And I'm telling you, we have to be careful. But I believe that that TV, and let me tell you, the TV does some good too, because it gives us some good information, but it also gives us some bad information. And it can cause us to lust after things and get ourselves in trouble. So we need to be careful as Christians when it comes to the TV. Is it too much for God to ask that people see authority and discipline and love and time for each other and consideration and faithfulness in their homes today rather than a home that don't have God? I don't think he's asking too much for us to do that. If we really love him, we'll do it. Now let me show you this here section, then we'll go to number three. I'll push this up a little bit. And let us notice these things I wrote down here. To say that the average American home has gone to the dolls, I believe it's an insult to the dolls, tell you the truth. Because our society has gone to the dolls, really. Non-working parents. We got a lot of parents today that depend on welfare, mostly black, but some white too. Black girls, they're around 17. Now, I saw one that was 17 and had about four children already. Can you believe that? Only 17 or 18 with four children. No daddy, no one to take care of the children. So guess who takes care of them? We do, out of our pockets and our taxes. She gets welfare for every single one of them. And they live off of that welfare. And even some of them have more and more babies to stay on the welfare. Isn't that ridiculous? But that's non-working parents fussing and cursing and fighting. I've seen this in my home. I seen my daddy beat my mother. I seen him cuss. I seen him fighting. I seen him beating up other men. Ain't no difference. He was not a good man. Too much TV, video, too much music. Young people, please hear this tonight. I know you like to listen to that music sometimes, and I know you like to watch a little television. I know you like to be with your friends, but please make sure you give God some time. This is not the only time that you need to serve God when you come here tonight. You need to serve God all the time. You need to find time to read your Bibles and don't listen so much to these videos like MTV and BET show, because on these videos today, they're showing almost nudity. As a matter of fact, they do show nudity. They have little patches over the woman's private parts. Isn't that something? You don't need to get involved with that. But it's too much of this, he'll leave you away. No home Bible studies anymore. No family prayers. No discipline in the home. No authority in the home. And that is what's bringing the homes down today. And that's why Jesus, and that's why God is missing from most people's homes. And even some Christians, worldly people are not the only one. This fits Christians also. Jesus must be put back in the home. He is the lost Christ, and we must go back, like his mother did, to where he was when he went a day's journey and bring him back. In other words, we need to bring him back in our lives as Christians so that we'll start doing that which God wants us to do. Now, let's go to point three. He is often lost in the church. Wait a minute. Christ shed his blood for the church. He gave his life for the church. And you mean he's lost in his own church? Well, I'll show you what I mean by that. And I believe when we think about it, it's something to look at. Notice this. He is often lost. We don't how many faithful preachers do we have in the Church of Christ today? We don't have many, I'm telling you. A lot of the brethren that used to be faithful are not faithful anymore. They used to preach sound doctrine, stand on the word of God. I mean, they're ready to suffer for Christ's sake, for his death and burial and all, but not no more. We don't have many faithful preachers today. We don't have a lot of preachers that preach against dancing, smoking cigarettes, drinking liquor or whatever it may be, giving on the first day of the week. Some preachers don't like to touch about giving. They don't want to lose their income, so they won't talk about it much. Remarriage and divorce, some preachers are afraid to preach on that. I'm not, but I know some preachers who are. They won't touch it, and they're not preaching the sound doctrine of Christ, and they're not doing what Paul said in Acts 20. He preached the whole counsel of God. That's what we need today, preachers who will do that. Some don't even preach on church attendance. Some don't preach on the work of the church. Some don't even preach on immodest dress. I went to a place in Tennessee, Dyersburg, Tennessee. I think it was Dyersburg. And I preached for a congregation there. And some of the sisters and Brother Hayford, I'm sure, and some of you other preachers in here, sometimes you hear members say things to you when you finish a gospel meeting that can really blow your head up. Oh, that's the best sermon I ever had. I ain't never heard one like that one. Oh, you got to be one of the sharpest preachers I ever seen. When they tell me that, it hit here and go right up. Because you can't let that sink in. But one sister came up to me after the service, and she said, I've been here a long time. Said, our preacher has been here 2 years. He never preached on modest apparel one time. And I was kind of surprised. And she said, I'm going to tell you why. She said, I'm not a gossiper. She said, you can find this out yourself. You know why? Because his wife wears shorts. So he ain't going to preach against immodest apparel. Isn't that a shame? He's not going to do it. And these are some of the things that shows that Christ is missing even in the church when we don't have brother. Now, I believe Brother Hafley, and at least I know his brother do. I know his brother's pretty tough. And some of you in here, some of you preachers in here, but I know Brother Hafley, also is tough when it comes to preaching sound doctrine. Y'all wouldn't have had him here, I'm sure. So I'm sure he's standing on the word of God. And you other preachers in here and other elders and deacons, I appreciate you for doing that. We need more standing up today. Now, some brethren like to follow the majority. They like to say, let's go with the majority. Whatever the majority do, we do. So I made me a chart for that. And here's my chart on majority. My wife did the writing. Notice this. The majority of people of the world believe the world was flat in 1492. If you know your history, you know I'm right. The majority thought that taking a bath was harmful to one's health in 1842. Oh, I hate to be around them. It was actually against the law to take a bath in the winter in Philadelphia. That's another group I don't want to be around. Multitudes called the steamboat at Fulton's Folly. The majority laughed at the Wright brothers who gave us the world's first airplane. They did. And many people thought that a man who went 15 miles an hour you know, in an automobile, he'll get killed. Well, I get killed if I get out and did it now. They'll kill me if I got on the interstate driving around. I get killed right here in Peyton City driving around that slow. I'll get arrested. They'll arrest me. That's what they'll probably do. And here's my point with the majority. The majority also believe that homosexuality is all right in America. Some people, a lot of people, a high percentage, believe that it's all right. It's a lifestyle. Nothing wrong with it. They believe that abortion is okay. Let me show you something about abortion. I'm going to move to my next point here. And I'm keeping up. You know what? I didn't hit my watch this time, so I don't know how long I've been up here. Anyway, if some of you have dogs, right? Animals, cats, or dogs. If you go outside and take your cat and start kicking them and beating them with a stick, throwing them up and down and all just to see how he land on his feet, throwing them up in the air and watch how he lands on his feet, somebody will call the animal shelter on you and an animal humane society on you, and they'll get you in trouble, right? And you know they'll take you down there and take you to court? They'll probably put you in jail, and you'll have to pay a fine. Now watch how our society is today. A girl decides she wants to have sex outside of marriage. She gets pregnant. The boy don't want the responsibility. The girl don't want the responsibility. You know what they do? They kill the baby. Our society say, good. Now, that's the kind of society we living in today. Ungodliness to the core. Drinking alcohol, they believe that's okay, and many things like this. They say that hell is a joke, and there is no heaven. Well, the majority can be wrong, and it has been, and it always will be. We need to follow what God says. That is when it comes to unrighteousness. Now, let me go ahead and get on through with my lesson here tonight. I want to mention my next chart here dealing with this subject. But it's very important that we recognize what the Bible says concerning what Christ tells us to do as far as being faithful to him. Now I got to see where I was. I know that's going to happen. That happens every once in a while. Oh, I'm on point number four, okay? You're supposed to know your lesson backwards and forth. I know. Well, sometimes we do make mistakes and get a little behind. Let me get my charts here. Got a little bit mixed up here. But let us just remember some of the things I mentioned so far about what it means to be faithful to God, because I'm telling you, he is lost quite a bit in this world today, and I believe that he's lost in the hearts of a lot of Christians today. Now, here's the chart I need right here. Let me finish this point here. Don't get nervous for me. I'm all right. I know y'all saying, oh, I hope he get it. I hope he finds it. I don't want him to get nervous. My way of showing nervousness is when I sweat. Have I sweated? Okay. Well, that means I'm a little nervous then. That happens when you can't find what you need. But notice this right here. Here's a saying that Abraham Lincoln made. I like this. That's why I put this on here. Abraham Lincoln once said, I do not care for cut and dry sermons. When I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bumblebees, not sin. Too many today never fight anything. What he means was, he liked those fire and brimstone preachers. I do too. I love to hear a preacher that preach fire and brimstone sermons. It makes me think about what I'm doing. It makes me want to stay faithful to God. And that's the kind of preaching we need today. And that's what the homes need today. They need to listen carefully to what God's word has to say. And the church needs it today. Now, let me just mention this real quickly, and then I'll go to the fourth point. We have faithful members are few in the church too. That's why Christ is lost in the church often, because members are not enthused when they come to church. Some are late for worship, late for Bible class. Some don't participate in singing. And when you think about the church at Laodicea, they were lukewarm. They did not please the Lord. They didn't think they needed God, and they really did. And they were told to repent in Revelation 3:19. Then we find members are not growing as they should. Some members are stationary. They just don't grow. They don't learn anything. They don't grow. And you know what? We're always going to have members like that in the Lord's church. They're always going to be there. Always will be there. But these scriptures, like 1 Peter 2:2, tell us, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, when Peter closed that chapter, he said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No evangelism is being done today. Many members of the Lord's church today don't go out and teach anybody. They don't want to teach anyone. And so the gospel is not being spread. And some depend on the preacher to do it. But I got an answer for those who think like that. Because when you turn to Acts chapter 8, you won't see the word preacher mentioned one time in those first few verses. But I'll tell you what you would see there, and what you can't miss, is that he told all of them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to those. Notice this, Acts chapter 8. We don't need to read all the verses. I'm just going to look at verse number 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Watch this. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, the same thing about preachers. So, you know, some members think that preachers should do all the door knocking, all the Bible classes, and that's not right. Everyone is supposed to do this. We all supposed to be reaching God, reaching those who are lost. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Not only the preacher, but it is his responsibility as well as everyone's responsibility. Love for Christ. The love for Christ is gone cold in some members of the church today. And what they need to do is ask God forgiveness and repent and turn before it's everlasting too late. And then let's talk about he's lost in today's world religion. Oh, yes, he is. He's lost in today's world religion. And I'll show you what I mean by that. But let me show you all of this here. He's lost today in the world religion. Bible says, if we learn the scripture, we can see it. There are religions today that deny God, Jehovah Witness. That deny Christ, Jehovah Witness. And that deny great portions of the Bible, Roman Catholicism. And not only that, but the Mormons. The Mormons believe that their second Bible is supposed to be equal with the Bible. Now, Joseph Smith prayed that God would give him wisdom. He read 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, this is something I read in a book in history. And it said he prayed for wisdom. But instead of him praying for wisdom, what he prayed for was that God give him a vision. And so he pretended, or he thought he got a vision, and that's how we get the Book of Mormons, which is a pack of lies, none but a pack of lies. Because the Bible said that God's word is completed. That, you know, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, I mean, they'll make us mature and all. We don't need anything else. The perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. No, we don't need anything, brethren. There's nothing but a pack of lies. And there are others that deny the divinity of Jesus, Jehovah Witness, deny the inspiration of the word, deny the work of the Holy Spirit, deny the reality of hell. My last sermon that I'm going to preach is Hell is No Joke. That's the last sermon. I'll just tell you ahead of time. I might switch it to Thursday or Friday, but I'm thinking about preaching it. All these religions, are they acceptable to God? Of course not. They're not acceptable to God. They're not pleasing to God. It's false doctrine. So I put 2 John 9, Colossians 3:17, in case you can't see it well. And what 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. That it goes for those who teach those false doctrine. And whatever we do, it has to be done by the authority of Christ. Now, here's a sheet that I drew up myself. I drew this sheet up and I use it. These are some of the religious teachings of men. Faith only and grace. You're saved by that. False. Women preachers. False. Going to the mourner's bench, false. Praying the sinner's prayer, 90% of denominational churches do that. Music and worship, false. Tarry for the Holy Ghost, false. Get religion, false. Call your priest a reverend, false again. Go to the church of your choice. One church is just as good as another. Any kind of worship is okay with God. These are some of the teachings and doctrines of men that God's word does not approve of, so it's false teaching, and those who follow these will be lost. Only person in here that heard this story that I told about the salesman was Brother Kimball. And there might be some other ones in here that might have heard it, but I'm going to tell you because it's going to fit what I'm making. There was a story told about a salesman that went out in Arkansas. He went out in the woods. He was selling vacuum cleaners. You've seen people that come to your door selling things? He was selling vacuum cleaners. And he knocked on this woman's door. And this woman had just got through cleaning her floor. Her floor was spick and span. You know what he did? Time she opened that door, he didn't say, "Hello, ma'am, how you doing?" He just threw a whole bucket of sand on the woman's floor. And he said, "Ma'am, don't panic. Don't you fret, because if this vacuum cleaner don't get up every drop of that dirt, I'm going to lick it up with my tongue." You know what she told him to do? She said, "You better start licking, because we don't have no electricity out here." So they say things that they can't deliver. These fellas right here that teach these false doctrine of men, they're saying things that they can't prove from the word of God. Can't prove a thing, and it's nothing but false doctrine. Let me just show you this chart here. I got the overhead on. Look at this. Now, I know y'all seen this before numerous of times, but I'm not going to go over every one of them. I just want you to look at it a little bit. Where my stick went at? Oh, here you go. Notice Roman Catholicism, Boniface III, wrong time. This church is just as late as it can be. This church is 500 and some years late. Christ established his church on the day of Pentecost. Lutheran church, false. Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness, Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists, and Episcopalian, all these denominations, just these few on this chart, are false, because the scriptures does not teach about any of them. Any of them are found in the scriptures. Can't find them. All of them got started at the wrong time, in the wrong place, by the wrong men. And there's no scriptural authority for neither one of them. This is how Christ is lost in religion today. And then, you know, that chart I showed last night that some of you all wanted and you got, you should be getting it. They're going to make a lot of copies of it. It's this chart, and I'm not going to stay on it long because I want to finish my lesson. But I do want to, I want to show you what the brethren are doing here, what our own brethren are doing. Look at this for 1 second. Now, this is a congregation, Northside Church of Christ, in my hometown, Jacksonville, Florida. Look at what some of our own brethren are doing today. They had a Christian youth standing up in the world that is falling. Look at what they're doing. Experience the excitement of famous Northside Carnival. Church of Christ involved in carnivals? Games, easy to win prizes, good food, and a host of fun. 25 cent a ticket? Outside concert? Boys, girls, 3-on-3 basketball? Other games and activities? Look at this. Continental breakfast, devotion, Bible bowl. See, when you see Bible bowl, you might say, hey, that's good that they question the young people and make them answer questions. No. Not according to the way they, what they're doing here is false. Devotional messages, sporting event, barbecue. I would have been there to get that one. If I'd been into liberalism, I would have been there for that one. But, you know, I know better. Saturday night program, all morning, afternoon. Now, this seems good to some brethren, but it is not scriptural. So even Christ is lost in some of our own brethren teaching when it comes to doing what God says. That's just one chart to just show you that. And he's not happy. And I'll show you this last chart. And then I'm going to go ahead on and finish the last point. Look at this. I showed this before, and I'll do it again tonight. This is false. This is our own brethren. Social meals, entertainment, singing groups, birthday social, sporting cars, supporting colleges out of the Lord's treasury, recreation, drama, acts, and skits. I've seen that. Matter of fact, I was in one. I played exactly what I was at that time, a devil. They gave me a uniform, and I put the uniform on with tall horns and a red tail. Can you imagine a black man running around in a red devil's costume? But that's what I was doing. No scriptural authority for it, but that's what I was doing. Female leadership, leading prayers, reading scriptures, waiting on the Lord's table, female deacons, dedicating babies, embracing denominationalism. That's talking about unity and diversity. Let's get along with the denominational friends, Catholics, whatever, you know. Hand clapping in worship service, religious holidays, daycare centers, secular education, camps, and ball teams, all coming out the Lord's treasury. No book, chapter, and verse for none of it. Now, here's what the Lord wants us to do. And then I'll hit that last point. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And I failed to show this when I first did it Sunday. I should have did it, but I failed to do it. The New Testament church mission is evangelism, preaching the gospel to the lost, edification, building up converts by further teaching of the word of God, benevolence, minister to the needy saints in the body of Christ. The specific function of the church is to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not physical fun and entertainment. And so in religion, even in our own brotherhood, our brethren are getting involved in these things, and it's sickening, but that's what they're doing. But I believe what the Bible said. That just gives me more confidence that when God's word teaches us that many would go the broad way, and when Paul says some would depart from the faith, I believe it. I would beg you, brother, please give me just one or two more minutes and I'll be finished. But I want to show you this. Some brother gave me this, and you probably can't see this, so I have to call it off. But this is what our brothers are getting into. So I asked the question, how far will they go? Listen at this. Christmas parties in Hollywood, California. One Church of Christ is doing that. King and Queen Banquet, Miami, Florida. Church of Christ is doing that. Church hospitals in Africa. Soup kitchens in Lubbock, Texas. Lubbock, Texas. I probably say it wrong. I always say that town wrong. rehabilitation alcoholics. We are not involved in doing that. That's not the work of the church. We're not supposed to be taking care of alcoholics. We're supposed to be teaching God's word. Of course, we want to help them, but we can't do this out of the Lord's treasure. But this is what these brothers are doing. Look at that. Family counseling centers. That's the same congregation. Fish suppers. Listen to that. Halloween parties. Recreational hall. World's Fair. House of the Carpenters. I don't know what that's dealing with, but it's something. It ain't what the scripture talk about. Fishing lake. Swimming pools, isn't that something? Boy Scout troops, baseball equipment, church kitchens, and cows for Korea. Now, what in the world a Church of Christ congregation going to buy some cows for Korea? You'll laugh at it, but I'm telling you, this is what's happening with the Lord's people. Now let me get to the last point and I'll close the lesson for tonight. I hope I said some things that encouraged us here to recognize that we're living in this kind of world today, and we need to be faithful to God, and we need to be an example to these people in whatever we say or do. And let us make sure whenever we do something that is according to God's word. Now, my last point of this lesson is going to be dealing with us for a second. I hope it calls us to think. But I mentioned this already, so I don't need to waste a lot of time on it. I already showed this already. I showed it Tuesday night, I believe. And it's talking about how sad it is that Jesus lost in religious denominationalism. Denomination rebels against Christ's authority. It's dangerous because it rebels against biblical plea for unity. It rebels against Christ's plan of salvation. And it's dangerous because it's a false sense of security. Every individual that's in a denominational church, they all believe that they're going to. Now, let's look at the last point. Christ is even lost in our life. Is he lost in your life tonight? Is he lost in your life? If we have let Christ went on a long journey, we need to bring him back to our lives. And the way we do that is by repenting of our sins and staying faithful to God till death. That's what God wants each of us to do. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us to let our light so shine that men will see our good works and that we will draw them to Christ. You know what? If a wife can't teach her husband the gospel, the word of God, 1 Peter teaches it. 1 Peter 3, she can win her husband to Christ by the inward man, by the way she lived the life as a Christian. That's why when you let your light so shine and watch how you live and carry yourself, you can do more good probably sometime than trying to teach people, because some people might not want to listen to the truth. But your example can do it. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Every time I use Matthew chapter 5, I always make sure I get Philippians 2:15 in, because this one goes along with what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 2, and please look at verse number 15. And we are living in a pretty wicked society today, a wicked world, and we need to let our light shine. Notice, that you may be blameless and harmless, sincere in other words, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, watch this, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See how we have to carry ourselves and let our light so shine? Is he first in our life? Are we seeking his kingdom first? Are we seeking him first? Like Brother Hafley said last night, he can see that those people who were here last night, they showed God that they want to seek him first, because they could have found a lot of things to do on a Monday, but they all came to service, and you all came to service tonight. But let's keep Christ in our hearts. And let us keep him in our lives so that we'll really do the things he wants us to do. And the question is, do we love him with all our heart, mind, and soul? The Bible teaches us, and strength. Luke tells us strength. Do we love him with all our heart, mind, and soul? If Christ is lost in your life tonight, I'm talking to Christians, you brethren here tonight. If he's lost in your heart, you know you haven't been forgiving people. You know you haven't been setting a good example on your job. You know you haven't been fair in coming to worship service. You've been missing here and there because you're just getting weak. The best thing to do is to do what Jesus Christ's family did. They went to seek and to find Christ. We need to bring them back in our lives. You need to do that. And you do that by repenting of your sins tonight and asking God to forgive you and confessing your fault. If it's a public sin that you committed in front of people where you brought Christ to open shame, you need to repent in public here and get it right. Get the brethren to pray for you and come back to the Lord. And those who are out of Christ, who might be here tonight, who's not a Christian, you got to bring Christ in your life. And the way you do that is by looking at this simple chart that I drew up. I told you all that I'm going to use some simple charts that no one can walk out of here saying they don't know what salvation is. And this is an easy one to follow. When I was in Job Corps, I took baking back in 1974 to 77. I stayed in Job Corps to try to get a skill, you know, get my GED and learn something. I didn't want to be a mechanic. I didn't want to get dirty like a grease ball. I wanted to be a cook, to be around the food, so I can eat. You see why I look like I do now. I'll be eating. I love to eat, okay? And I learned that when you bake biscuits, you need flour, baking soda, milk. I still call it lard, but they call it oil now, lard. And you need salt. If you mix these five ingredients together, they'll make wonderful biscuits. It's just that simple. The plan of salvation is just as easy. You hear God's word. You hear it. and you believe what God's word says, you're willing to repent because God's word has pricked your heart. It has literally stabbed you and make you feel guilty for what you're doing. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ to be the Son of God. You're baptized in water for remission of sin. You become a Christian. Now, you can understand that. This makes a bishop. This makes a Christian. And you see on here that I didn't say anything about praying a sinner's prayer, asking Jesus in your heart, getting religion. You never seen it one time because the New Testament doesn't teach it like that. And so if you need to respond to this call, you need to respond tonight and accept Jesus by obeying the gospel. We're going to go ahead on now and stand and sing the invitation song that's been chosen. And if you need to respond, I would beg you to please do so.